This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
And hello, welcome to this episode. This is going to be a reissue episode because of the upcoming release of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. In this episode, we thought it'd be a good idea to turn back the clock a little bit, rewind, reissue our review of the Ghostbusters Afterlife with unequal sequel legend Sean Walsh. This was recorded all the way back in November 2021, so it's very early on in our podcasting career, so the sound isn't as good as it is now. Also, I have to point out, we do delve into spoilers of Ghostbusters Afterlife, so if you haven't seen it, move on. If you have listened to it, maybe just listen to it again to see what we think, because we will be talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire on the 5th of April. That's when our review episode's coming out for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, so if we thought it'd be a good idea to go back and see what we thought of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Anyway, thanks very much, and here we go. Hello and welcome to Unequal Sequel
Extra.
We've got a special one this week. It's a big one. What are we doing, Rich?
We are doing Ghostbusters Afterlife.
And why is it special?
And it's very special because one of our favourite ever guests, Sean Walsh, is coming back to do it with us.
Oh, yeah! So good. So happy. For a little bit of background, if people haven't listened to the Sean Walsh episode, go back and listen to the Sean Walsh episode. He is the biggest Ghostbusters fan me and Rich have ever met. We've met a few of them now on this podcast.
Well, we have, yeah. We've met a few Ghostbusters fans, but Sean is definitely the biggest
Ghostbusters fan. Sean's next level passionate about Ghostbusters. And when we were watching it separately, me and Rich didn't watch this together, all we could think about was, I wonder if Sean likes this film.
Yeah, yeah.
So we asked him. He said yes. We got him on the pods. You're about to hear it. We should point out this is a spoiler special.
Oh,
we
yes.
Do spoil Ghostbusters Afterlife.
If you haven't seen it, don't stop listening now. Go and watch it and then come back and listen to the rest of this.
Yeah, because one, it's cracking. We've just recorded it. So please sit back and enjoy the review of Ghostbusters Afterlife with us and Sean Walsh. First thing first, what I always do, Sean, yes, is get Rich to describe the plot, because he's yeah, cracking at it.
Good idea.
And then we'll crack yeah, on.
What he means by cracking at it is sometimes I don't know what the plot has been because we watch some really weird movies.
Yes.
But yeah, this one is a lot more simple. So the plot of Ghostbusters Afterlife is Egon has passed away. His daughter and grandchildren have inherited his house in the country. They are broke, and so they decide to move there. And some spooky goings on are happening in the town. There's lots of nice discoveries of old Ghostbustery stuff. They meet a teacher called Gary Gruber, which I love. And yeah, you know, the without giving away too many spoilers.
I think this should be a spoiler special because.
You think spoilers?
Yeah, massively. I don't think we can.
I think we should give away spoilers in this one.
How do we talk about it without?
Cause, yeah, exactly. Because yeah. That ending, I have to describe. So yeah, spoil away, everyone.
Yes.
Go crazy. Go cool. Crazy on it. I think is the only way possible.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I won't spoil it straight away. Nice. But yeah, essentially, hijinks ensues, and yeah, they bust some ghosts, and it's awesome.
Perfect. Okay.
Now, Sean, we got you on the show because you're the biggest Ghostbusters fan we know.
Okay, good.
So I want to know, yeah, what was your day like? I just wanted to, because I saw pictures on Instagram, you had like a planned Ghostbusters breakfast, didn't you?
My girlfriend was so sweet and she made me a kind of Ghostbusters breakfast with marshmallows and biscuits with quotes on it. But I was very stressed all day. So I'd watched one the night before, and the plan was to watch two in the day, and I didn't. I know them too well, and I watched them too often. It wouldn't have made it special. But I said to my brother, it was like how you would feel if your football team was at a cup final. I was so nervous. I couldn't talk. Mm. I was terrible to be around. Because I was just so stressed about what I was about to see. So the day was a tense day. I've never had a wedding day, but you know when like the groom is stressed.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. I had the stress of a man about to get married.
Had you read any of the critic stuff beforehand, or you avoided that?
And how many trailers have you watched?
So obviously I'd watched all of the trailers a billion times. Okay. And I knew that the Guardian had given it one star, and I thought that was a good sign.
Get out of the way early. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I knew that Empire had given it four. To be honest with you, how was it ever going to get five stars? I just kind of didn't really. I thought it was a good sign that Empire had given it four. I thought that was kind of what I was expecting. So that's what I knew going in. I also had guessed the plot. I'd guessed what was going to happen at pretty much every point, and I got it right. Yeah,
you were close.
Yeah, you were pretty much spot on when you talked to us.
Oh, I can't remember what I said, but I said to my girlfriend walking in, I said, look, this is how it's going to go down. And I was kind of, my expectations weren't too high. That's the thing. I can tell you now, I had a wonderful time. And at the end of this film, I was bawling my eyes out. I mean, I was a grown man with just tears pouring down his face. It was embarrassing. I had to kind of cover my, I was a mess.
Dave was the same.
Yeah, I had tears. I didn't realise how hard it was going to hit me until the three of them walked out at the end, like uniformed up.
Oh,
and I was like, I didn't know how much I needed it. It was weird.
It's weird, isn't it?
I was by myself, Sean. I didn't even have my wife with me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. It's nice. It seems to be, do you know what? Everyone I've spoken to that are fans of the originals, like they all, everyone went. It got everyone.
Yeah, it's like 3 points that got me. It got me when For Harold came up as well. That And when the music hit right at the end, with the car going over the bridge.
Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't do like a modern version of the music.
Oh,
like,
God.
I'm so glad they just kept it normal. Yes,
absolutely.
Sean, should we start with you? Okay, so what did you think?
Well, okay.
I think we all know.
I suppose, right, that we knew it wasn't going to be perfect. It was not perfect. But yeah. Also, it couldn't have been. You just can't expect that. And so what I've said to everyone in a sentence, right, my review of that film would be, it was almost as good as it could have been, and that is an incredible feat, I think. That's what I would say, and I would say there are things that kind of I'm confused about the, some of the choices.
Yeah.
But overall, in terms of, you know, going to the movies, the nostalgia fest that it was, I just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And you've got to kind of cherish that, because I've listened to a few things now where, you know, I've listened to some YouTube shows with guys I don't know, but have been forwarded to me, and people have ripped into it. And actually, I kind of agree with everything that I've heard that is a criticism of the film, but you either choose to like it or you don't. And I just had a wonderful time. And so I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I've just not had enough time to see it again, but I can't wait to see it again. And I'll bloody cry again. So you're talking to a very, very happy man.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, that just has a few kind of questions that I can't wait to discuss with you.
Yeah.
And that's what all movies are about, yeah. Right? Is the movies are about people... Movies aren't made for critics.
Yeah.
Movies are about people going to watch them going, I had a really good time. Like, and I feel like that when I go and watch Fast and Furious movie and I come out and go, I know that's not the best movie in the world, but I had a really good time.
Yeah.
And you know what? Same with Ghostbusters. Yeah. I can't believe someone gave this a 1-star review.
Oh, mad.
Like, totally that's insane. Just bullshit. Yeah. Like, it's just nonsense.
Whoever wrote that, I don't know who it was, but it's just... It's the kind of people that they don't enjoy the idea of other human beings having joy. That's what it is. They don't like the idea that someone enjoyed themselves and it hurts them. And what they want to give a 5-star review to a film that people won't enjoy. You know, the film was joyful. And you have to kind of, I think the idea for the film was brilliant. There's a great idea, which is, what Jason Reitman kind of did is captured, it was like if you had spoke to me as a child and you said that you're going to go on this adventure and you were going to find the proton pack and you were going to find the trap and then you're going to end up having to fight the ghosts and there's going to be a judgment day on the horizon. But then when you're fighting the main bad guy, they're going to turn up, Sean. You know, like you... It's the perfect idea. It really was the perfect idea, I think.
Yeah.
Such a good idea. And I think the idea itself has been kind of overlooked. I think that if you spoke to me at kind of 6 years of age or something, that would have been my dream. That, you know, those kids in the film got to live, the characters rather in the film, got to live my dream as a child. So great idea for the film.
My son's 6 and he would love that movie. I showed him the trailer and he went, Kid Ghostbusters! He's like obsessed now. He really wants to see it. And I wanted to see it first to see how scary it was. But I think he'll be fine. He'll be all right.
Very responsible. Good.
Yeah. I'll take him to watch it. I think he'll enjoy it.
I think I like what you were saying earlier, that this is not the perfect Ghostbusters 3, but this is probably as good as it can be for now. The perfect Ghostbusters 3 was probably about 20 years ago and they missed their chance of doing it. But for now, oh my God. And there is a lot of pandering to the fans, but God, I needed every moment of it.
Yes. Exactly.
Every little sign of anything original Ghostbusters gave me goosebumps.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
But like you've got all the kind of... Okay, so you kind of got the ones that you expected, right? You know, and also that had been, you know, kind of, I suppose, in hindsight, it was a kind of shame that there'd be a few of them had been given away in the trailer. But, you know, like the poll and the books, etc. But like... As this is, you know, a spoiler episode.
Go for it.
When she pulled the crunch wrapper out of the pocket, fucking hell. Like, I just did not see... That had never kind of registered as a moment to me. And to sort of hone in there and kind of almost kidnap this moment from the first one that kind of didn't... They made something, and this happens in life, they made something that at the time you didn't realise was a moment in your life. And they went, oh, you know that bit in the film?
Yeah,
that bit, that's a real moment of friendship that stayed with Egon. And you kind of go, all right, well, that's kind of bollocks. And that's not the case at all. But I am here for it, as they say on the internet. I am fucking here for it. That was amazing. Like, I was just in the cinema going, oh my God, Ghostbusters 1 was about friendship as well. I hadn't even considered. It was about friendship. Yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh. On the friendship note, that's one of the things that's kind of, sorry to drag this down into a negative.
No, go.
One of the things that didn't quite ring true for me was Rey's reaction to Egon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How have they fallen out so much? Like, that didn't feel right. That didn't feel like, if Egon said, I'm going to go to the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma because I think something is going down, Rey would be the first one to go, yep, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, what happened there?
I just kind of don't know. Do you know what? I was having such a nice time, and it cuts to Ray's occult, cuts to the bookshop.
Yeah.
We see Ray. The kind of crowd cheered. I was like coming up. I couldn't believe that I was looking at Ray again. You know, I couldn't believe he was there. And it starts, doesn't it? And she says, like, I want to talk about New York. And he goes to hang up and you go, okay. And I'm kind of hyperventilating, like, fuck, it's right. And then he went in to this. I also think it was kind of, and I, as I say, you know, this is all prefix of I love the film. But I thought that was a kind of bad idea. And maybe it comes down to the contract, you know, they've got all these people for a day or something. But just to, like, have him deliver all of that exposition, all of that backstory in just one phone call just didn't work. And absolutely, when he said, like, oh, and he started to scare me and we just thought he was crazy, he thought, I suddenly realised what it felt like to be one of those Star Wars fans that didn't like that Luke Skywalker had lost belief. You know, the people are like, oh, Luke Skywalker wouldn't have been like that. Now, I really liked The Last Jedi, but with in regards to Rey, you just kind of went, you've missed this. And I had this sinking feeling of,
yeah.
Oh, but why didn't you just come up with another reason? Why didn't they just think of why Rey couldn't have got what? I just don't understand. I don't know. But like you, I was really disappointed by that, but
I was sat in my seat going, "Oh!" like really, like excited.
Yeah.
And then when he started, he sort of said, "Oh, Egon, he can rot in hell." And I was
he
like,
"Can go to hell?" Like,
yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It must be something really bad.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, he started to sprout like something. The end of the world was coming." I was like, "Well, that's the kind of thing that you guys used to, investigate."
Totally.
That happened all the time.
Dogs and cats living together, you know, like
mass hysteria.
Been there.
Yes. That's your job. Fucking idiot. Yeah.
Anyone else said that, you'd be like, oh no, you're a crazy man. But if the smartest man you know is saying it, then there might be some truth in it. Especially if you just had a trip down to Somerville and then found the 10 point, oh no, you're 100% right. Well done. We'll get the others. We'll help out. You have. But yeah, it didn't sit with me. And I think me and Rich would have quite liked, there was a quick mention of Veikman and Winston. Would you have liked like a scene or two more of them? Or were you happy that they just rocked up at the end?
I just didn't expect it. As I say, I predicted what was going to happen. There was no way, Bill. I just thought that they're going to come in at the end. There's going to be an attempt to save the day. And there's no way Bill Murray would agree to enough days for them to get that third act and have him do some earlier scenes where Ray or, oh God, what's her name in the young girl.
Phoebe.
Like, have to talk the Ghostbusters into coming to Somerville. I just knew that Bill Murray, the actor, was not going to agree to do that. So I just didn't expect it. Is that what we wanted to see? Of course it is. But I fortunately didn't have the disappointment.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I think I missed that, getting the band back together.
Yeah, definitely.
We needed a few shots of getting the band back together, and that kind of would have satisfied it, I think. But
that still didn't stop the emotions that I felt at the end.
No.
I wasn't prepared for that, the brick wall of just the three of them, proton packed up, doing their thing to Goza, are you a god? That line made me, like, they all look at Ray like...
Ernie Hudson looking like he's not aged at all.
Ernie Hudson looks amazing.
I know, yes. Yes.
Like, you know, Murray looks old and Aykroyd looks old, but Hudson looks like proper.
Yes, yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed by the scale of the end because, you know, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, you've got atop of the building or you've got inside the museum. And in this one, it kind of felt like, oh, it's on the front of our, you know, on our front garden kind of thing, the scale of it. But I still loved it.
I think that when it got to... So when they reveal the Ghostbusters, I was a bit surprised. I'll tell you what, ignoring the script for a second and just sort of going along with the script and going along with Ray not believing Egon and all of that, as hard as that is, when they turn up, I thought, what I couldn't understand is, you hear Vegman go, like, did you miss us or whatever? And it's, you know, it's just amazing. but then, if I'm right, and I've only seen it once, the first shot of them, the three of them together, is like kind of from a 45-degree angle.
It is.
Yeah, the three of them just kind of stood there in a kind of medium long shot, quite a strange like frame size. Mm.
There's no hero shot.
And I was just like, what? I mean, how did that discussion go? Where surely the DOP or Jason Reitman have gone, well, look, we've got this staircase. So, like, you know, let's start on the boots, the black boots. Let's have the black boots walking up the stairs. As they're walking up the stairs, we're gonna track up and we're gonna come up the body and we're gonna come out and we'll have the mute, you know, like we're gonna build up and you're about to see the three of them together for the first. I mean, it just would have been it would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. It's almost like they had a no walking clause in their contract.
Yes.
Because they're all stood still. Whenever you saw him,
worried, going, I don't want to do anything grand. Let's just have us stood by the car. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, you could.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But you could do a kind of Shaun of the Dead-esque quick cuts of proton packs lighting up and, like you say, like boots and little bits of... You wouldn't even need them to do that, would you? You'd just be you know, just stunt doubles putting on suits and putting on proton packs and charging and...
Yeah,
I agree. So I thought that was odd. But for me, where I lost it, because that's not actually, I was just a bit kind of overwhelmed by everything. It was when, and it's the kind of shot we're talking about that we wanted, I suppose now thinking about it, it's kind of there. It's just later.
Yes.
And the three of them are hosing Goza and then it kind of zooms out and then Egon's on the end. I fucking lost it.
Oh, good. I wondered how you react to Ghost Egon. Do you think that was a good move?
What do you guys think?
I'm hoping that they got permission from his family.
Okay.
If that is agreed, 100% okay with it. But at the time when I was in it, I was looking around going, guys, are you seeing this?
Yeah.
There's four of them.
Yeah.
And it looked proper good. It wasn't any of this Rogue One, you know, weirdness. I thought Ghost Egon, it was really, really well done. And I'm glad he didn't talk. because that would have been even creepier.
I thought he looked great. I thought he looked great, but at the same time, I thought this is a little on the cheesy side for me.
I didn't hate it.
I wouldn't criticize it too strongly, but it just felt just a little on the cheesy side.
I think knowing how close his daughter is, I think to the kind of Ghostbusters franchise, that they of course would have, you know, that she, I think she would have given the permission there. And I think that it was cheesy, but you know, like, they could have severely fucked that. I mean, that is a break. You see, because I think if you had read the script, you'd probably go, this is just going to look awful. We can't do it. It'll look terrible. But they pulled it off. And I think, and what was a really good sign was that every time it cut back to him, I was still going, that does look really good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That still looked really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it worked. And I think it was a really nice idea. And I'm so glad. It's so weird, isn't it? It's like, we got to see that I feel like, due to the magic of technology, that we got to see, I felt assuaged in that we got to see the four of them together. I felt like that. It wasn't like the three of them. It felt like, no, they were there. All four of them were there. And that was enough for me.
It was for me as well. I was like, I can die happy now. I've got the thing I've been waiting, 30 odd years for. Yeah. I didn't know how much I needed it or wanted it. And there it was in front of me. And I just lost it. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then for Harold, I was like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then the car, I was like, okay. Oh. And then Dana comes up at the end with a little kind of thing.
Yes! That was a great, I tell you what, that was absolutely brilliant. Did you both have exactly what I had? Which is, you sat there and it went, and Sigourney Weaver, and I thought, did I go to the toilet? Did I miss the body mover? What the fuck happened? And then bang, there she was.
It was good. And then the other credit, when it's teasing another sequel, which is maybe they're going to audition new Ghostbusters. Is that what you reckon they're going to do? Because it looks like they're going to go back to New York if they do it again. He's brought the Tower House back.
Yes, and obviously there was something wrong with the
container.
Container and I don't know what they'll do. I mean, will Phoebe and family, you know, I assume it will be, you know, they will move back to New York. It will be them.
I hope so, because the girl, was it Mackenzie Grace? I thought she was brilliant.
Brilliant.
I thought she was really good.
Absolutely brilliant. I thought she was... It felt like a different tone of comedy in this film. It wasn't the 2016 comedy that you hated.
And I did hate it. Yeah.
But there wasn't... But obviously, this one couldn't be the comedy from the original Ghostbusters because it didn't have that cast in it. It didn't have the SNL, you know, the Bill Murray snappy. I thought it was played really nicely. They used what they had well to their advantage, if that makes sense.
I'm not... Yes, it does make sense. I don't know, kind of... I think the comedy of one... one and two, for me personally, for one and two is just such the combination of those, particularly, you know, Ramis and Aykroyd and Murray, that I don't know, and Ernie Hudson, like, you know, it was kind of lightning in a bottle that was never good. They were never going to recreate that. And I, like you say, but I think the tone they kind of went for, it was kind of almost like a film that would be on Disney Plus. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I thought that the you know, you're not... It wasn't a great... I don't care, but I don't think it was a great comedy, was it?
No.
But it didn't have to be. That's the thing, isn't it? Ghostbusters doesn't have to be a comedy.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the criticism I've seen of it has been, it's not as funny. Why does it have to be?
Yeah, no,
life isn't always funny. You know, sometimes it's serious, and sometimes it's action, and sometimes it's, you know.
Yeah, they kind of re-genred it, you know, like Aliens, you know, Aliens and Alien. They reframed the film and they kept it light tonally. They kept it playful. Kids, you know, your 6-year-old's not seen it yet. I really hope kids love that film. I think they will. I think they'll laugh. I think Podcast is a great character.
I thought he was great. Yeah.
yeah, Muncher as a ghost. You know, hopefully kids will love that. I think kids are going to have a brilliant time watching that. I hope they do. And then for us, the sad men going to relive their childhood. It worked brilliant as well. So it smashed it. Absolutely smashed it.
I read Christmas. There's not enough ghostbusting in it, but I was like, there was never that much ghostbusting in the original Ghostbusters. They did some montages.
They didn't have the money.
But this seems like a Goonies adventure to be Ghostbusters. You know,
absolutely.
And I really enjoyed that.
I think you hit it on the head with Goonies. Actually, I saw Kevin Smith had come out and said, you know, not only have they made a Ghostbusters movie, but they've made a Goonies movie that everyone's been trying to do for 30 years. Yeah. You know, and I think I absolutely agree with that.
Great. Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. That's spot on. Yes, that's exactly what they've done. And I thought that action sequence essentially was, you know, we're not, again, in terms of like the reframing of the genre, you know, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, well, they weren't action films. No action in them, really. You know, like they're walking around a hotel in number one and they shoot Slimer. It's not action at the end of Gozer. So, you know, that was an action sequence that they put in there, the car chase sequence. And it was great. It was great to see the Ecto-1 move like that. Oh. You know, the gunner seat and all of that stuff. So good. It was brilliant. It was kind of like what you did as a child with Ghostbusters in your imagination. The film was like that. Children watched it, and then kind of in our heads we imagined it as this kind of action film that it never was. So no, I thought that was brilliant, that scene.
It was kind of like, it was also, they played to like the Force Awakens beats of like, okay, this is how we're going to set it up, and then we use the original cast members kind of at the end for beat for beat. And I think that's quite a safe option, to be honest. There's no, like I said earlier, there's no other way, another route they could have gone with this movie. Well, they've already tried that other experiment a few years ago.
Yes.
Which didn't work for everyone. Some people liked it, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go into that again. But do you think that it could have been, they played it any differently, or was this the only option route they could have gone for?
Well, I don't know if you guys have any ideas, but I think, you know, the other way to have done it would...
Like you said, we weren't going to get a whole Bill Murray film. No, he was never going to sign up for that.
But... No, of course not. No, that was never going to happen. And obviously Harold passed away. And I think so the only other way to do it would have been that off the top of my head, that Ray and the Ghostbusters hung up their boots at the beginning of the film and then hired a new team of Owen Wilson and Paul Rudd and whoever, Jack Black, you know, just off the top of my head, whatever. And they went on, and there was a kind of another film. And then again, maybe the original turned up again at the end, the OGs. But then maybe that was the only other way of doing it. But I think this was the best way to do it. I think that story was just a great idea. It was a really great idea, and not an idea that had popped into my head. You know, I think it's a great idea, and I think it will. It satisfied us, but like I've said, it will bring a. It's for children as well, and I just think that's fantastic.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask, because on our episode you mentioned the Ghost Corps logo, and it popped up right at the beginning, and I was like, oh shit! What did you think when you saw it?
Right, okay, so I saw the whatever the production company is before. Bronk or something? I don't know.
Bron. They're doing everything. I don't know who they are. But...
Okay, right, Bron. So I saw Bron come up, and then I saw this kind of mist, and I recognised the mist from the Ghostbusters 2016 version, and so I knew what was coming, so I turned away, so I didn't see it.
You would have walked out right and like, no, this is it. I can't.
My girlfriend looked at, because I told her about it. I'd said, you know, there's a danger that this could happen. I kind of looked away, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I kind of, oh no! And I thought, it's okay. It's not happened. I didn't see it. It's not happened. Doesn't matter.
Okay. So, yeah. That's good.
So I'm ignoring that. It didn't happen. I didn't see it. It didn't happen.
Fair enough. fair enough. It didn't ruin it for me. That's all. Literally going into this movie, all I could think is, I wonder what Sean Walsh is going to make of this.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah, exactly the same.
And even at the ending, I was like checking Instagram. I was like,
I didn't say anything really. I was too. I was a bit overwhelmed. I was very emotional, and I was very overwhelmed, to be honest. I've thought about it every day since.
That's good. And we spoke to Josh Weller the other day. He's like, "Oh, do you want to go and see it together?" And you're like, "No."
Yes. No, I'll see it with.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he'll. I'll see it with him the second time, but not the first time.
That'll make him happy. Cool.
Yeah.
Should we do this rating at the end of each episode? And weirdly, we ask ourselves two questions: is it an unequal sequel? And two, what would you rate it out of 7?
Okay.
I don't know why we picked 7. We just picked 7.
Fine. We're not real critics, you see.
So. No, yeah, we didn't want to make it like real critics. We don't want to be on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Fuck that lot. I'll play that game with you in a minute. So, was it an unequal sequel, yes or no, Sean? And you're going to ask me, what does that mean? And the answer to that is, I have no idea.
We'd basically say, is it not an equal sequel? Is it a lot? Good. Is it better or worse than the last one, or is it just as good as the last one? I think essentially is. But
we confuse ourselves with it as well.
Yeah, we just make it up as we go along.
I don't know what you mean, but I'm going to say it's equal.
That's good. That's good.
Because that sounds like it's a good thing.
And what would you give it out of 7?
I think I'm going to give it a 6.5.
That's high. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I can sleep
easy.
Thank you. Now.
I'm glad that people are enjoying it. It makes me really happy. It really does. Yeah. It's so weird and sad and all of those things, but it really makes me pleased that people are enjoying it. It's wonderful.
Rich, what would you do?
Well, I mean, it depends which sequel I'm comparing it to, whether it's unequal or not, because it's unequal compared to 2016, because it's a lot better than 2016. But it's not a sequel to that, really, is it? It's a sequel to Ghostbusters 2. So I'm going to say it's an equal sequel, because I would put it on a level with Ghostbusters 2.
Cool, nice.
It's probably not quite as good, but it's not far off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would give it probably a 6 out of 7, I think. A strong
that's
6,
good. That's
which
good.
I think is one. I think that's my highest score so far.
That's
for a film,
great.
So.
Yeah, I agree. I agree exactly what you said. Obviously, Ghostbusters is next level for most films.
Well, Ghostbusters is set, Ghostbusters is
that's
set.
The Hall of the Wall of Fame or whatever it's called. I actually think I might enjoy it more than Ghostbusters 2. And I like Ghostbusters 2, but I really got into it. I was smiling through like most of it.
Oh, so
I must look like a Cheshire cat, like a fucking idiot. And I would also give it 6 out of 7, and that's great. Really high.
Yeah.
So thank you. But before you go, I want to just see: have you checked out the Rotten Tomato scores?
I saw the audience score like yesterday. That was really good. But I know the critics are not, apart from Empire, I know it's getting slammed.
It's weird, isn't it? So the Ghostbusters, original Ghostbusters, is the critics score, it's 97%. So Ghostbusters 2, higher or lower than 97%?
Well, it will be lower, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
53? That's ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous. Okay.
Yes, really
Ghostbusters
weird.
2016, higher or lower than 53%?
Higher.
Critics,
yeah. Higher.
Yeah, 74%.
Absolute madness.
Now this, higher or lower?
Lower.
It's lower, 63% at the moment, which is a fucking joke. Yes. But the audience score is 95%, so.
That's the important one. That's unbelievable. That is, that's phenomenal. What a job that he's done. To get a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes from the audience that matters, the audience. So great.
Like Ghostbusters 3 is literally nearly almost impossible. It's up there with trying to do Back to the Future 4, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's kind of that. And it's nice that they're going to go somewhere now with the franchise now, hopefully.
Well, Dave, I really enjoyed that, mate. It was really nice to catch up with Sean again. And it was really nice to talk about Ghostbusters, which, and I'm so glad that all of us really enjoyed it, because when I started seeing the critic scores coming in, I was like, oh no. Oh, what is this movie going to be like? What is it going to be about? And, you know, I thought the trailer looked so promising. And I went along and I thought, oh, critics don't know what I'm talking about, mate.
Again, that is why film's so good, though, isn't it? Because some people can love it and some people can hate it.
And that's it. And I think this is the point of us. This is the point of this podcast, isn't it, really? Is that when we review a movie, we are not looking at it from a critical perspective.
Absolutely.
We are not looking at it and thinking at it in that an analytical view. We're just telling you if we liked it or not and what we liked about it or didn't like about it. And I can tell you, I liked this movie. I didn't like the teenagers sat behind me talking all the way through it.
I felt
like I was getting very grumpy about that. So I'm going to have to go back and watch it again and hope that there's no one sat behind me talking all the way through it. Because, yeah, I might even watch this twice, because I might go and watch it back again on my own and then take my son to go and watch it too.
But definitely going to go see it again.
And one of the things I didn't get to say when we did the review with Sean is that it was so nice to see a kid in the, you know, running a movie as a, you know, the lead in a movie, playing a character who probably isn't the coolest kid. No, isn't the most stereotypical cool kid.
I just loved that it was a proper motion picture family film again. It was just wonderful to be a part of. And the screen that I went at 10:30 on a Sunday morning when I thought it'd be quiet, it was absolutely rammed.
Yeah.
And thank you, Sean, for coming on. Rich, what can we tell the people?
Well, I would suggest you go and check out some of Sean's stuff. So Sean is on tour at the moment and one of his shows is being recorded, so you'll be able to watch that. Maybe for your Christmas DVDs, if people still buy DVDs for Christmas these days.
I don't think they do the comedian DVDs anymore.
But I would definitely say get a download of that or watch it on Netflix, wherever it's coming, this Sean's show. I would also encourage you to go and check out his little short film on Vimeo, which is called Clown, and is really, really good. Really good. It's a great little short film. And it's only sort of 8 minutes long. So, you know, 8-9 minutes long. So it won't take up half your life. Just go and watch it. It's really funny and really, really poignant as well. So go and watch that. And
his
also,
podcast.
Yeah, his podcast as well. So his kind of top of the charts award winning podcast of What's Upset You Now. Again, it's only 15 minutes long. It's a brilliant, brilliant podcast. He gets great guests on. It's hilariously funny. Definitely check that out. And while you're doing that, check out the rest of ours as well. So if it's the first one you've listened to, if you're a big Sean fan and you know all the stuff I've spoken about, go back and listen to our episodes. So back in season one, episode two, we had Sean on then. And also we've got loads more other really brilliant guests you can go and listen to. You can check us out on Twitter and on Instagram. We are at Unequal Sequel. And you can also, if you wanted to send us an email and tell us that we're completely wrong about Ghostbusters, it's unequalsequel@hotmail.com.
Brilliant. You nailed that.
I know, mate. I know. I'm getting good at these now. It's almost like I'm professional.
Almost.
But I'm not. Almost. Almost.
I will add, if you can give us a like and subscribe and rate us on Apple or Acast or whatever you can rate a podcast. I'm not actually quite sure where you can do that anymore. But but if you have an Apple podcast, an Apple phone, whatever it is, and just give us a comment, that would be great. And that's all I've got to say, Rich. You got anything else?
No, that's it from me. Go and watch Ghostbusters Afterlife if you haven't already. And if you haven't already, sorry, we just spoiled it for you.
Please, yeah, sorry about that. That's a goodbye from him.
Bye!
Oh, brilliant. And it's goodbye from me. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.